Now the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome, everyone, to the Wednesday edition of the Three Martini Lunch, the last for this week, as it turns out. Jim Garrity of National Review is here. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Good, bad, and crazy martinis for you as usual. And Jim, we start with the good. It's amazing how something as frustrating as Obamacare for conservatives has spent so much time in the good martini, usually with poll numbers showing Americans still wanting to repeal it. Different times we thought it was going to go down at the Supreme Court. That unfortunately didn't happen. It's back in the good martini today because the Obama administration has decided to push back implementation of the employer mandate to the start of 2015. Now, this isn't all good news because a lot of people think this is going to be a train wreck, and some of the analysis suggests that the administration knows that and they don't want it hanging over their heads for the 2014 election. But the bottom line is it still admits that this is a huge problem, and it gives employers a year to try and still figure out a way around this, even if it does get implemented.
The bad news is it is not delayed in perpetuity. The good news is I think this greatly complicates the narrative for the Obama administration. The train has left the station. It is unstoppable, which goes very well with the train wreck metaphor favored by Senator Max Baucus and a few other congressional Democrats looking at the implementation of this. If this is so fantastic, you kind of wonder why you would need another year to put it into place. And then secondly, you're left wondering why will it be that much easier a year later? The same problems are largely going to be there. There's some people who think that actually what this is going to lead to is a lot more employers dropping coverage, telling people, go into the Obamacare exchanges now that they're set up. So actually this may end up hurting some people, et cetera. But if you're a Republican who looks at Obamacare as just this Hydra-headed legislative beast that, you know, a Gordian knot that needs to be cut, stop me before I metaphor again. this is a mess. And the fact that they can't get it to work before the deadlines is a sign that this is a mess. And if you want to say scrap it and start over again, I think the fact that even the Obama administration had to do so, does so like right before a holiday weekend when they hope no one's going to be paying too much attention, says something that this is an idea they really didn't think through. And this is what happens when you decide to pass something before looking to see what's in it.
Way to go, Chief Justice Roberts. Way to go. Could have avoided this whole thing, but at least there's a temporary reprieve here. All right, on to martini number two now, Jim. And apparently, Mohamed Morsi, the, for now, president of Egypt, is channeling his best inner Bashar Assad because the Egyptian military, of course, earlier this week, gave him 48 hours to at least set in place a process for meeting the demands of these millions and millions of Egyptian protesters and responding to the demands that these people have had that kind of put Morsi and his gang into power in the first place, but there's just been corruption and economic futility and all sorts of other things. Morsi's response is not even nice words to make it seem like he wants to play nice. He's basically saying, I'm staying here, and as long as I'm alive, I'm not going anywhere. So that puts the ball back in the military's court, and we'll see what happens. But given that we're not even really sure who the opposition is here, this could get real ugly real soon. I don't know if it'll look like Syria, but if it's anywhere close, that's really bad news.
Yeah, a couple of things. First of all, as we speak, Greg, at this very moment of our taping, word is breaking that Egyptian television is reporting that Morsi is now under house arrest by the Egyptian military. What is intriguing about this, you know, we look at the protesters. There are some Egyptians who have a vision of a freer Egypt, a country in which the government is more responsive to what the people want. I mean, the objection to Morsi is not a fundamental objection to the Muslim Brotherhood or him being, you know, to Islamists, although that's an element of some of the protests. What really the problem is that the economy is collapsing. They can't feed themselves. This is a country that is kind of pretty dysfunctional in terms of basic services and whether the roads work and infrastructure and all that basic. Anybody who's been to Egypt will tell you this is kind of a basket case of a country on the very best of days. And it's been a steady decline since Morsi took power last year, that this was a country that really didn't have, a little bit of agriculture. Most of the country's desert. Tourism was one of the, the key components of the economy. Obviously, when there's instability and a sense of being being run by the Muslim Brotherhood and raids on our embassy back on September 11th, people are not eager to go visit there. And they don't visit there, they don't spend money. And as a result of that, the Egyptian economy, never a powerhouse to begin with, turns into a even weaker and an even greater sense of desperation amongst the people. This is a bad martini for a whole bunch of reasons, including the fact that Morsi is the guy we bet a whole lot of money on, so to speak, with the Obama administration, because remember, Obama said that Mubarak must go. Here we have this widespread popular uprising with a whole bunch of folks who believe that the U.S. is pro-Morsi. How the U.S. ended up on the same side of the Muslim Brotherhood is, you know, it's kind of with a lot of folks, including Jeffrey Goldberg over at the Bloomberg, formerly The Atlantic, is saying, how did we end up being the guys who were defending the Muslim Brotherhood instead of arguing against these guys? So we now have a situation in which it looks like we may be at the moment of change in Egypt. I'm among those folks who believes that a military taking over and resetting things and another election may actually be an improvement. There's kind of a precedent for Turkey in this sort of matter. If the military is not running things dictatorially or oppressively, or is in fact basically becoming the guarantors of law and order, this can be a good thing. But we got to keep our eyes open and just be ready for things to fall apart, because after all, it is Egypt, Greg.
Yeah, and potentially another civil war, just what Israel needs on another border. So just a lot to not know what's going to happen here, and including just in the next few hours, perhaps, in terms of Morsi's immediate future. But very interesting, Jim. What we need in that region, clearly, as we transition to our crazy martini, is someone who can break the ice, somebody who can go in and talk to these leaders who we've been unable to establish a relationship with through our normal diplomatic and political overtures. And clearly, that person is Dennis Rodman. We chronicled earlier this year his being the only American to actually meet Kim Jong-un. Kim Jong-un likes basketball. President Obama likes basketball. How can that not be the start of a great political relationship? Well, now, Rodman is not content with that experience. He is being featured in Sports Illustrated's annual Where Are They Now issue, which shows his profile in the rest of the world. And here's his quote. My mission is to break the ice between hostile countries. Why it's been left to me to smooth things over, I don't know. Dennis Rodman, of all people. Keeping us safe is really not my job, he said. And he's saying that he's worthy of the Nobel Peace Prize here. He says, keeping us safe is not really my job. It's the black guy's job, meaning President Obama. But I'll tell you this. If I don't finish in the top three for the next Nobel Peace Prize, something's seriously wrong. So he's clearly thinking he's in medal contention, Jim.
Do they have a bronze Nobel Prize?
I don't know.
I mean, I will now do the unthinkable and sort of defend Dennis Rodman. In Dennis Rodman's defense, Greg, the Nobel Prize is really not what it used to be. It actually has gone to, I believe, half of the last six men to run for president on the Democratic ticket. John Kerry has not gotten one, but clearly is trying his best, doing all this shuttle diplomacy between the Israelis and the Palestinians, while Egypt burns, while Syria burns, while there's an uprising in Turkey and problems everywhere else. You had Jimmy Carter get it. You had Al Gore get it. Obviously, Barack Obama got it based on his potential, kind of the Rookie of the Year award he got in his first year of his presidency. The one guy who didn't get it was Bill Clinton, who could probably point to stuff like the Northern Irish peace process and some of that, and say that he actually probably has the best claim to it. You can't help but suspect whether that's really sticking in Bill Clinton's craw. Now, if Dennis Rodman gets one before Bill Clinton, I think we may actually see Bill Clinton just explode in a typical purple rage and start screaming about all that stuff, demanding a recount and stuff like that. By the way, it would not be surprising to see somebody nominate Dennis Rodman, because apparently just about anybody can nominate someone for a Nobel Peace Prize. But as we now know, to win the Nobel Peace Prize, you must be the Democratic nominee for president at some point in your career.
Yeah, somewhere Fritz Mondale's kicking the furniture too, I guess. But Jim, have a fabulous 4th of July. I don't think either one of us is holding our breath for a Rodman victory. But hey, if he finishes in the top three, I think he's going to be happy. So have a great 4th. We'll talk to you on Monday.
See you Monday, Greg.
Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Have a wonderful 4th of July, everyone. Thanks to our troops and their families for all that they do. And we'll be back on Monday for the next edition of the Three Martini Lunch.